Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first epistle began with the words, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." When he talks about workers together with him, as I've mentioned on several occasions before, the word in Greek is a form of the word that we get the word synergy from. So we are co-laborers with God. There's a synergy between God and us. God expects us to work with him. That's not to say that it's a 50-50 partnership, but God does expect us to do something. And so when he bestows his grace upon us, we're supposed to cooperate with that grace, and we're supposed to do something with that grace. So how might we receive the grace of God in vain? The answer is by doing nothing with it. And in the parable of the talents, we have a vivid example of this. A talent, in English, the word talent has a totally different meaning in common usage. But talent here is referring to a measure of weight. And most likely, the Lord was referring to a talent of silver. So it's a certain weight in silver that was a unit of money. And it was quite a bit of money. A talent of silver was the equivalent of 6,000 denarii, and a denarius was a day's labor. And so if you were to convert that into today's money, you would come somewhere between maybe $500,000 and maybe even up to $1 million, depending on how you looked at it. But in any case, you're talking about quite a bit of money. And the Lord gave to these three servants talents and according to their abilities. To one he gave 5, to one he gave 2, and to one he just gave 1. But he didn't expect them to just sit there with those talents to enjoy having all that money, but he expected them to actually do something with it. The servant didn't go to Vegas with the money and blow it. He didn't live high on the hog with that money, so you can't say that he did evil with that money. He didn't waste his master's money in the sense that he went out and spent it, but he didn't do anything with it. He didn't do anything good with it. The parable that follows the one that we just read in the gospel is the one that we read on the Sunday of the Last Judgment. That's the parable of the sheep and the goats. And so these parables have a connection with one another. And as you're familiar with that parable, when the Lord comes to the goats and he pronounces judgment over them, he doesn't say, "You are liars, you are adulterers, you are fornicators," and that's not to say that those things are not evil or that God will not judge us on that basis. But in this parable, the parable focuses not on what they did in the sense of sins, but the sins of omission, the things that they didn't do. It says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not." Then shall they answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." But we might ask, what can I do with what God's given me? He's not given me that much. I don't have that great abilities. I'm not a great speaker. I can't go out and convince people to live a godly life. What can I do? Well, if anyone could have ever asked that question, it would be St. Maria of Gatchina, one of the new martyrs, who I've talked about before. But here you had a woman who had a disease, an incurable disease, to where even the slightest touch caused her excruciating pain, and she was so crippled that she was basically just curled up into a little ball. And most people who have that illness go insane because it's such a horrible, excruciating existence, and there's not a whole lot of joy to be found in that life. And so if anyone ever had an excuse, what could I do? It would be someone like that, because what could she do? She was just a curled up little ball of pain, suffering, and she had her own problems to worry about. So what could she do for God? What fruit could she bring to God? What profit could she be as a servant to God? Well, she, by her suffering, learned patience, and she also learned how to deal with sorrow and pain, And she became a great counselor to those who were depressed or in grief. And people from all over, including bishops, would come to her for counsel, and she would give them comfort. And it was almost a ridiculous scene because you had these people who had problems, but compared to this woman, their problems were nothing. I mean, this woman had all the problems in the world by comparison. And yet, they would come to her, and she would give them words of comfort, and she would give them spiritual advice, and she would pray for them, and people received great benefits. So what can you do? You can do at least that much. If she could do anything, you can do anything. We don't have anyone here today that would have as good an excuse as she did, but yet she was able to bring profit to her master and to be a good and faithful servant. We might also ask, why do I not have more? Why the servant who only got one talent might have said, well, why did I just get one? My master must not have had as much confidence in me. Why did he give that one two, and why did he give that one five? Well, we don't know why God gives some people more abilities or more opportunities than other people. But God gives every one of us something. And if we want to know why God hasn't given us more likely than not, it's because we're not doing enough with what we've already got. Because in the parable, the servants that did well with what they had were given more. And so if we show ourselves faithful in small things, God will give us the rule over even greater things, it says in the parable. One day, we're all going to have to stand before God and give an account for our lives and what do we do with all the good things that God has given to us. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is on that day when we stand before God, what profit are we going to bring with us to heaven? Who have we comforted? Who's experienced the love of Christ through us? Who came to know Christ through your labor? You don't want to go to the judgment empty-handed. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen.